Grace and peace to you from God our Creator and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let the people say amen.
Amen.
I think I should have tested whether or not I have an internet connection up here on my iPad. I don't. And I wrote my sermon for the first time on my iPad. It's right here, as long as I'm connected. Have you ever heard about be ready to preach in season and out of season? Well, be ready to preach whether you're connected to the internet or not connected to the internet. Ah, praise the Lord. the sermon title came from Pastor Ray Kwanda, who was retired, and I was with him along with others in the Northeast Philadelphia area. And we were talking about temptation, and he said, "I can resist anything except temptations." And I said, "That's true. That's the way it is for me, too. I could resist anything except temptations." And I had come across this prayer, and it just popped in my head, because it's been a while, as I'm driving down here, it pops in. I said, "Thank you, Jesus. This is a good prayer. Lord, thank you for the good that I have done today. So far, I have not cursed. I have not been stingy or rude. I have not hurt anybody. I have not been indecent. I have been good. But Lord, I am going to need all the help I can get when I get out of bed this morning." Don't you feel that way sometimes? Everything's going pretty great. And then I get out of bed. And then, boy, do I need help. So I was going to use, and I can, and you can follow along. It's called the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer. We say, "Lead us not into temptation." It's in the back of your ELW. And I think it's 1164. 1164. Now, I retired from St. David's. And the reason I bring that up, because it's true, but the reason I bring that up is because when I became the pastorate following Pastor Arden Crick, he had changed the church's tradition of saying the Lord's Prayer in the King James Version. He went with what was in the ELW. Did I do that right? LBW. There we go again. The LB. Remember that green book? That green hymnal? So sure enough, I had to learn a new way to say the Lord's Prayer. The whole congregation knew it, but I didn't. Because I'm so used to saying it the familiar way without even thinking. And that doesn't that happen sometimes? We can say it without thinking. And we're thinking of maybe where do I got to go from here? Or what do I need to do? Or anyway, the sixth petition, and this is the updated transversion version of "Lead us not into temptation. Save us from the time of trial." And you know, I've grown quite fond, and I like that. I like that because I am tested. I do go through trials. And I'm thinking of Jesus. He's been tested, and he goes through trials. I had a hard time figuring out, "Lead us not into temptation." Jesus wouldn't do that. He wouldn't lead us into temptation. And isn't that what Luther says? What does this mean? It is true that God tempts no one. But we ask in this prayer that God would preserve and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our flesh may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great and shameful sins, and that although we may be attacked by them, we may finally prevail and gain the victory. Amen. I thought I had washed my face after Ash Wednesday, and all of a sudden there's black soot on the hymnal, and then I realize it's from the candle. It's not from my forehead. That's clean. Nothing like a little reminder of Ash Wednesday on the first Sunday of Lent. So I had experienced a time when I was tempted, and I failed. And I'm going to share it with you because I had retired. I went to Washington, D.C. with a friend, and I was looking forward to enjoying the Good Friday and Easter services at the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., and plus take on some of the sites in Washington, D.C. We came across a wonderful French cafe, and it was a beautiful spring day, warm, warmer than today, to sit outside and to enjoy the French cuisine and outdoors and just be content, and I was. So we ordered our French onion soup and also a croissant with the French ham and the French cheese. I can't remember the French word for it. Nevertheless, croissant is an interesting word. So,
fromages.
Fromages, there you go. Scott, thank you. So I had that, and then the waiter dutifully, or right on time, brought us assorted breads in a basket. And we sat by the entrance of the open area before the building entrance to the cafe. And so we were right by the public sidewalk. And it was nice, and there were people coming and going. It was open. It was airy. It wasn't congested. It's like in some places. Well, that changed. All of a sudden, people were beginning to come and just hang around by our eating area and just hang there. And now we're going in the restaurant, but they weren't going anywhere else. They just kind of mulled around. And then, lo and behold, two buses full of tourists happened to make their stop there. And then the crowds began to swell, and people were told not to get on and to wait and let the others get off first, and then you can get on. And then without hesitation, someone came to our table and asked for bread. It wasn't a tourist. It was a passerby. And I said no. And then that person kept on moving to the next table or just sort of like vanished in the crowd down the block. And I felt bad. After all, this is Good Friday, Easter weekend. I should do a better job. A better job of what? Showing hospitality? Being generous? Being kind to my unexpected neighbor who wanted bread from my table? And I remember the scripture, you know, what you have done unto the least of me, on the least of my neighbor, you have done the least unto me. That's scripture, and that's in Matthew chapter 26, I think. I have to get a Bible and verify that. And so I'm thinking all the guilt. I'm thinking, I wasn't prepared. I wasn't expecting Jesus to pop by and ask for bread in my neighbor. So the best thing is to quick make amends. I asked the waiter for a paper bag, put the bread in the paper bag, and start searching for this neighbor who came quickly in and quickly out, thinking I can find that person. No, I could not find that person. The crowds dissipated, they moved on, the buses left, and I'm walking down the block looking for someone who's looking for bread, and it's not happening. So I thought, if I just carry this bag around, maybe someone will approach me and says, "Do you have bread in that bag?" I'd be glad to give it to them, even if it's not the same neighbor. So we're going to the museum, and of course, no food allowed. I didn't want to throw it away, but I did. I put it neatly on top of the trash receptacle, hoping someone who is hungry could find that nice bag of bread and then thereby receive nourishment and food. So I prayed and said, "Lord, I said no to you by saying no to my neighbor. I admit it. I was selfish. I was trying to preserve food for myself or for my friend. I was trying to think of all the excuses. I'm guilty as charged." And I said, "Lord, hopefully someone will be able to feed my neighbor who I did not. And Lord, you can provide for those who have been refused by others in some way, in some fashion, in some form." I won't forget that story. For some reason, that one really hit me hard, because I was in an open place, a table, beautiful day, Easter, Holy Week, Easter's coming, and I got this food, and someone in my immediate presence says, "I would like bread." Usually if I'm in a car and people want to get something, I just roll up the window and keep driving. What's another one? You know, the ones who wash your windows? "I didn't ask for that. You're not getting anything from me. That was it's a freebie. You don't have to." And today, when I got gas, which I was so pleased, it was $2.39. I am so happy what I could save. And do you know what the attendant did while I was getting gas? And this rarely ever happens in freezing weather here in Jersey. The attendant washed my window. I didn't have a single dollar in my wallet. I spent it already. And I says, "Lord, should I tip this person? I didn't ask for the window to be washed." And the Lord says, "You've got money in the trunk," which I did. I didn't want to get out of the car. It's cold. Can you believe this? A pastor hesitant to give a tip to the attendant who washed my window that I didn't ask for? Yep, I'm the one. And I got out of the car, got the money, and gave it to the attendant. And the person smiled and said, "Thank you." And then I felt good. But I realized I really had to be pushed with my conversation with myself in the car on whether or not I should tip. I still struggle doing the will of God. I still struggle in learning what's the right thing to do, Jesus. And sometimes I get it right, and most of the time I don't get it right. But I at least feel that I can learn from it so that the next time I will be ready to be generous and kind. Like you say, when you get out of bed, that's when you really need all the help you can get to do the will of God. The one who does the will of God and does not fall into temptation or fail is Jesus. He does it. He doesn't think of himself. He thinks of what the will of his Father is all about. And when you read the scriptures, which I do a lot more lately since I'm working here at Grace, I read a lot more scripture, which is a good thing. Jesus says a lot, especially in the Gospel of John, I'm not doing my will, I'm doing the will of my Father. So what you see me doing is what my Father told me to do. And if you don't believe in what I'm doing, believe at least in the works of the Father, so that you may too come to believe that God is present and the kingdom of God is at hand. And you have a chance to turn your life around and follow the way that God provides in life, in your life, in my life, in our life. In the Living Lutheran magazine for March, it talked about obedience. In fact, is in Romans chapter 5, one man's obedience. Oh, yeah, that's right. It was in the bulletin, isn't it? One man, Romans chapter 5. It's a good thing I was here this morning. Romans chapter, there it is, 5. And the writer talked about this, and I was impressed with, he's a pastor, and he also sees things in a little bit more illuminating way to see what this obedience of Jesus does for you and for me. There it is. So by one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. I can't clean up my messes. I can't clean up my faults. I know how to feel guilty, and I know how to feel short. That is, I can't quite make it across. But there is one who will take care of that for me, and take care of that for you, and take care of that for anyone. And that is through Jesus Christ's forgiveness and love. That's how I get by, day after day, time again, trusting that God will provide. And I will learn, I will grow, I will practice what is the will of God. And so that Living Lutheran, he says, follow the ways of Jesus. What did he do when he had to feed 5,000. Well, he did pray and then used the boys' lunch, fed 5,000, and had leftovers for those who turned up late so that they could have bread and fish. He took care of the poor. He took care of the hungry. He took care of his neighbors. And I am to do likewise. We are to do likewise. It's the way of Lent. Letting go of self and holding on to God's embrace. Or better yet, let God embrace you and hold your life together. Together. We can only do this together. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Grant us, O God, to hear your voice, and in hearing your voice, to love your word, and in loving your word, to do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.